Your notebook ready? Would you get your pen ready to take some furious notes as we invite our fearless leader, Pastor Josh?
Hey, good morning, everybody. So excited to have you guys here this morning. And, hey, got an amazing announcement for you for next week. And we have a guest speaker with us next week. And I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday, be a part of next Sunday, invite a friend to next Sunday. Pastor Frank DiMaggio is going to be in the house with us next week. And you might be like, I don't know this guy. You'll want to be here because he's amazing. And just a great father in the faith, a great mentor. And so he'll be with us next week. And I want to encourage you to be a part. It's going to be great. Hey, if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to turn with me into your Bibles. Maybe you have a smartphone with a Bible app. Open that up. Maybe you have a real Bible in the sense of paper. Open that up to Philippians, the book of Philippians. It's in the New Testament. And if you're new here today, my name is Josh McCann. I'm the lead pastor here. So honored to have you be a part of today and be with us. And thanks for being a part of what God's doing here. Man, we want to encourage you to come back and be a part of this family. And we truly do believe that our heart's desire is that by the time you leave today, you feel like your family. And so we want to encourage you, man, come back, be a part, dive in, get plugged in. Love to see you do that. Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4, the book of Philippians. We're going to read 10 verses and kind of set today's message up, the passage. And so, hey, read with me. Start in verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Man, hey, would you pray with me over God's word today? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I just ask, God, that you would just do a work in our hearts. Speak to us, challenge us, encourage us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, hey, I want to speak to you on the topic as we kind of close out the missions emphasis, month that we take in the month of November. I want to speak to you on this topic, a purposeful mind. A purposeful mind. And we're closing out our missions emphasis month today. And if you're new to church, or maybe you're newer to church, and we take the month of November and we put it back on our radar on how we budget and how we fund the missions here at our church. And so we take the month of November, we bring in missionaries that we support, or just missionaries that we have relationship with that could come in and just talk to us about missions and talk to us about the importance of missions. And so we do that. And I'm just going to be really upfront with every single one of you here this morning. I have one goal today. One. And that is to stir your faith to make a financial missions commitment. I'm just letting you know up front. You might be like, why? Because we have missionaries that we support are on a monthly mission list. And the way we support them here at our church is by you and I making a monthly missions commitment. That's how we support them. But also, we made a switch a few years ago and realized that, hey, our financial missions giving in our estimation was a little unbalanced because we were giving 100% away to foreign missions and we had nothing locally. And so we're like, hey, anything that's above and beyond that dollar amount is going to go to local missions. And we're going to set that aside so that way we could do stuff here locally. We could be part of what, you know, God wants to do right here in our very backyard. And so... we believe that's not one or the other. We believe it's both and. Amen? And so in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, it's some of Jesus' final words to his disciples. And something that he says is he says this. He says in 28, verse 18 through 20, I'm just going to summarize it. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And this is what he says. Now go, therefore, to all the nations and make disciples. That word nations in the Greek means something that a lot of times you and I miss. Sometimes when we read that passage, we look at that and go, okay, we're supposed to go to all the nations. We're supposed to go out. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that, except for it's not complete. And the reasoning is because the Greek word that is used for nations is the word ethnos. This is what he's saying by using that word. His implication by using that word and that word choice is he's saying every people group, especially those that are not part of the family of God, you are to go to. Every single person. Now, how many of you guys know we could go across the seas and people need to hear about Jesus across the seas, right? But how many of you guys know we could just go across the street and realize people need Jesus? So it's not one or the other. It's both and. It's not saying, oh, well, we got to fund missions here at our church and all of it goes to foreign. No, listen, why? Because we are located in Longview, Washington, strategically placed with 100,000 people in the surrounding area where they estimate only 10% of those people go somewhere to church, which means 90,000 people in our area don't go anywhere to church. How many of you guys know not all 90,000 of those people know and believe in Jesus? So it's not one or the other, it's both and. He's basically saying anyone who is an unbeliever, that is who you're called to. That is who you're called to. That's our mandate. It's everywhere you and I go and everywhere missionaries that we are connected to go as well. You see, when it comes to missions giving, specifically, I mean, we have to be purposeful to truly be the most effective. We have to be purposeful in our generosity. I want you to write this scripture verse down. It's a fascinating scripture verse. It's Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8. I want you to hear what it says in the New Living Translation. This is what it says. But generous people plan to do what is generous. And they stand firm in their generosity. I mean, you and I must be purposeful. We must plan to be generous if we truly want to be a blessing. See, the word purposeful has this idea and carries this idea of having an intentional purpose. So here's my big idea for you and I here this morning. My idea is simply this. Giving to missions comes from a purposeful mindset. Giving to missions comes from a purposeful mindset. Here's the reality. It has to come from a mindset that's intentional. And in order for you and I to make a commitment, we must be intentional with that. And here's the truth. If we hope to give something, if we have leftovers, chances are that leftovers will be sucked away from something else if we are not intentional. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I would give more to God if I had more? Well, the very little that you do have, if you're not giving, the chances of you giving more when you do have more are very slim. There's a fascinating study out that shows that the more people make, the less money they actually give. It's very interesting. Why? Because if you and I are faithful and are intentional with the little extra or the little that we do have, may I promise you, and I promise you, you and I will be intentional with whatever we have. It'll just be there. And we must be intentional. We must be purposeful in our approach. See, the text that we are here in this morning in Philippians is written by a guy named Paul. Paul wrote, you know, 2/3 of what we call and make up the New Testament. And God used Paul in amazing ways. And one of the ways that God used him is to write letters to churches and to write letters to the early disciples. And one in which is the book of Philippians, the letter of Philippians. And Paul's purpose in writing this specific letter, and there's tons that you could point to, like, oh, it's about joy. And yes, that's true. But one of the reasons why he wrote this letter is because he wanted them to know the reason why he was sending Epaphroditus back to them. Epaphroditus came from the Philippian church to bring an offering to Paul, and he sent him back. And so he wanted them to know, here's why I'm sending him back to you. He also wanted them to know of the current struggles that he's going through. Hey, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. But also to thank them for their financial blessing that he's received. See, Paul was a missionary. He planted that church in Philippi, and he went out from Philippi and started doing more work in planting more churches. And he ended up in Rome in prison, and they funded him at Rome. When he was in prison, they funded him over and over again. They sent him aid on different trips that he was on. And so he was thanking them for their financial support. And some people think that this passage that we are in right here could literally be a standalone letter because of the way it's written. It's really kind of, how many of you guys ever, oh man, what's the phrase? Is it P.S.? Like right at the end? Yeah. Have you ever done like, you? How many of you guys do that like in an email or a text? You do that? It doesn't make sense when you do it in an email or a text. And here's the reason why. The reason why is because when you actually did that, when you hand wrote it, instead of rewriting the letter, you would just say P.S. at the bottom. Well, you could just put the P.S. back up top when you're doing an email, right? It's pretty easy. So it's like, but this is what he's saying. It's like a postscript to the book of Philippians. It's like, oh, I'm not going to rewrite this whole thing, but hey, this is my main reasoning. And he thanks them for his giving. And I want to just drop just a few thoughts into your spirit today. I want to drop 4 principles that you and I could grab a hold of, that you and I could learn from this section of how Paul thanked the Philippian church for their giving to his mission endeavor. Here's 4 thoughts, 4 principles for you and I to think about when it comes to being purposeful in our mindset. Giving to missions comes from, number one, a purposeful commitment. Comes from a purposeful commitment. Look at verse 10 of this text. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now, it's very interesting. Now, some of you wouldn't know this because if you just read this, you know, at face value or in the English, you wouldn't catch this. But if you look at and study it up in the Greek reads and implies this. You have renewed your concern for me because you have been concerned. That's how it reads in the Greek. And this is what, like, rather than Paul kind of rebuking them in the sense of saying, oh yeah, you finally upped your, you know, your commitment. That's not what he's implying. That's not what he's saying. This is the way the Greek words it, is it makes Paul's situation the reason they could not respond and implies that they wanted to respond the whole entire time, but they did not have an opportunity to do so. But in their heart, they wanted to. And who they were, they loved Paul. They wanted to give to him, but they just didn't know how. They didn't know how to go about doing it or when to do it. How many of you guys know that everything in life boils down to the reality that comes down to you and I making a series of commitments? Have you ever realized that? More than likely, most of you in this room, you could think back on your life, either in the distant past or right now in the present, and you could be like going, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't commit to that. Like, have you ever committed to something before that when you look back on that, you're like, what on earth was I thinking? You bought that item and now you have buyer's remorse and you're like, what on earth was I thinking? Like, why did I do that? On the other hand, how many of you guys could look back on your life and you're like, I am so glad I committed to that. Like for me, I am so glad I said yes to Jesus. Because everything in that one commitment changed everything in my life. I'm so glad that I said yes to interning here at this church after I gave my life to Christ. Because it was in that season of my life that God called me and said, this is what I want you to do for the rest of your life, which he called me to the ministry. I'm so thankful that I said yes in that moment. I'm so thankful that I said yes to Jill when she asked me to marry her. I'm so thankful. No, in all seriousness, though, that I am so thankful that I committed my life to her because I'm such a blessed man to have her in my life. I'm so thankful that I said yes to God's way of living instead of doing things my own way. Now, don't get me wrong, man. I honestly, dude, I don't live it right all the time. But I'm so glad I said, God, I'm gonna do my very best to live your way. Why? Because he has blessed me so much in my life because of that. I have an amazing wife. I have 4 amazing kids. I have an amazing job. I have amazing church family. I have amazing friends. I have amazing staff. I have amazing, you know, in-laws, even though I'm just got to say that. No, I'm joking. But I have amazing family. I have amazing parents. Man, I am so blessed because of Jesus and because of what he's done. I'm so thankful I said yes to him. Every single one of us can do that. Every single one of us could probably look back and go, man, so thankful for that. Have you ever heard about something after the fact and you wish you would have known about it so that way you could have made a commitment? You know what I mean? Like an investment deal that you wish you could have been a part of, but you heard about it after the fact, or a job opening that you wish you could have applied for, but you heard about it after the fact. See, Paul here in this verse, in verse 10, says an interesting phrase. He says this, he says, you care for me has flourished again. Paul's like, hey, you may not have had an opportunity before because of my situation, or you missed an opportunity, but I am so glad when it showed up again that you renewed your commitment to care for my financial needs. See, the implication for you and I here this morning is this. We must look at our commitments regularly to evaluate them and renew them. We need to say no to some other financial things, other financial commitments, in order to give towards a missions one. That's just reality. So the question I just want to challenge you with right here at the very up front is, what commitments could you say no to so that you could invest in a kingdom commitment? I'm not talking about necessity commitments, okay? I'm not saying, okay, hey, we're going to go home. Kids, you're not eating for the next year, okay? So that's a financial necessity, okay? I'm not saying, well, hey, I'm just going to, you know, default on my house payment so that way I could give more to missions. No, that's called stupidity. Don't do that, okay? You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about all the other little side stuff that sucks the extra money out. Like maybe, just maybe, your $120 cable bill could be cut in half. Right? I mean, I've heard people talk, well, no, that's a necessity. No, it's not. Just like a cell phone is not a necessity. Save the $30 and get rid of your teenager's phone so that way you can put it towards missions. Come on. And all the parents said, woohoo! Right? I mean, we've got to wrestle with those financial commitments that we make. And sometimes we put things on a priority level that really honestly should not be there. And I think you and I, we've got to renew that. We got to look at those and go, okay, God, what really is a priority? What really should I be doing? There has to be a purposeful commitment on our part. And then number two, has to be a purposeful decision. Look at verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This passage right here by itself could be a sermon on its own. There's so much truth and so much incredible principles right there in that one passage by itself. But Paul says, I have learned. And in the Greek, he uses a specific word that would, like, people would understand in his day because it had a religious connotation to it. And it was this. It conveys the idea of a secret knowledge to which adherents of the mystery religions aspired. It was something that, like, you've got to work towards to gain this knowledge. And this is what he was implying. He was saying this. Contentment is learned through experience. Have you ever talked to someone that's older than you? And just because of life's experience, they've learned what it meant to be content with certain stuff that sometimes as younger people we struggle with. Like, we're like, man, my internet is so stinking slow. But the older generation remembers dial-up. Right? Like, you think slow, man. If you want to get on the internet, you had to press the internet button and then go make dinner, take a shower, do your homework, and then come back and maybe the page would have been loaded. Right? I mean, we sometimes get all like, oh my goodness. But how many of you guys know as experience goes on, you hear the older generation say this, and honestly, it's something inside of me. It frustrates me. And here's why it frustrates me. Because I know they're right. But this is what they say. It'll work out. What do you mean it's going to work out? The sky is falling. But because of their experience, they're like, I've been in this situation before. It's not a big deal. And then we're like, yes, it is. It's my big deal right now. And like, look, dude, just relax. It will work out. Do you take anything serious? Yeah, I'm just not taking this serious because I've seen it before. Paul is going, because of my experience, I've learned what it meant to be content. I've learned to go without. I've learned to have stuff. See, verse 12, he gives you and I three qualifiers on what causes you and I to learn contentment. The first and second one has to do with the mere fact of food, of not food, but physical needs. But then the middle one has to do with food. It's interesting because he's bringing this balance to this false teaching of the day that the false teachers were so preoccupied on food and other material things that he had to bring balance to their teaching. But then he goes on in verse 13 that many of us know this scripture verse. You know, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is not a scripture verse in Paul's mind and in the context. This is not a scripture verse where we could just slap this on any situation of life. That is not the context. He is not saying anything you go through, just slap that on as an earmark. It's not the context. One mark of maturity in Christ is that the mature know how to depend on the Lord in every situation of life, not only in those for which they assume like the need that they need help, but they have this maturity in them that even when they have a lot, they still rely on the Lord. That's a true mark of maturity. It's not just going to the Lord when you have need, but it's also still going to the Lord when you don't have need. Paul's like, at either spectrum, I've learned what it meant to be content. Paul here in this passage was saying that because of his relationship with Jesus, he can come to grips with any circumstance he faced in life. And because of that, he was like, don't give because you're meeting some need of mine. Whether you decide to do it or not, God will provide. God will provide. Every missionary that you will talk to, they just have something in them that's like, at the end of the day, whether the church makes a commitment or not, I know my God will provide. So don't give because you're trying to provide for me. Do it because you know you should do it. Paul puts it this way in another letter that he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 7, he says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. The first thing he says to excel in is faith. This is your faith in Jesus. This is the mindset of faith. This is walking in faith. This is all this other stuff. He says, first, excel in that. Second, he's like, excel in speech. What's he saying? The longer you walk with Jesus, the more you should talk like Jesus. Pastor Josh, what do you mean by that? The less ungodliness comes out of your mouth. Right? That's what he's saying. Excel in speech. But he also says excel in knowledge. This is knowing how to walk like a believer. You need to excel in that. I need to excel in that. But also, the fourth thing he says you should excel in is diligence and earnestness and zeal. The Bible says in Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal. You and I, there's got to be something in us. We are to excel in our passion for the things of God. This is what I've realized. When you lose your passion, you lose your drive for things in life. The fifth thing that he says to excel in is love. We're supposed to excel in love. He's like, don't misplace your love. He's like, hey, do not love the things of the world. He says, do not love money. But when you and I truly fall in love with God, we'll love people so much that we see the need around us that we're like, I want to do whatever I can to meet that need, to help that person. But then in all of that, that's not the point of why he says that verse. We love talking about all that stuff. We love talking about growing in our faith. We love talking about growing in love. But that's not the point of the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. He says, grow in all that. But if you're growing in all that, you should know and understand that you should excel in the grace of giving. He's talking about money. He's not talking about, you know, just giving. He's literally in the context of saying you should grow in your generosity and giving. But here's the thing in church world, whether you're new or you've been here forever, we hate talking about this topic. This is what we do. Wow, the church, they're just always talking about money. That's all they want is my money. Well, Pastor Josh, who are you to tell me what I should do with my money? First off, it's not your money. It's God's money. Secondly, God's not after your money. He's after your heart. But this is what I've realized. If he has your heart, he'll have your pocketbook too. And here's the truth, and this is a hard truth. You show me your checkbook, I'll show you what's a real priority in your life. Let's just move on. Paul seems to be saying here, like, excel in everything, but don't forget to excel in the grace of giving. In Philippians, he seems to be telling the Philippian church, hey, don't do it on my account, because I know God will take care of me. He will give me the strength to face whatever situation I find myself in. So don't do it because of that. Do it because you know it's the right thing to do in your own faith journey with Jesus, to excel in generosity in your own heart. That's why you should do it. See, giving to missions comes from a purposeful commitment, a purposeful decision, but number three, a purposeful partnership. It goes on in verse 14 and 16, it says this, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. You have to understand something here today, friends, that the very landscape of our society is changing. And partnering together with missionaries around the world and doing things here locally may result in you and I suffering persecution. That's what we signed up for as we follow Jesus. Anyone who tells you that you won't suffer, you won't, you know, God loves you so much, you won't let anyone persecute you, they're a false teacher and they don't know their Bible. Because Peter said, consider it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that the glorious Spirit of the Lord rests upon you. So if you're going through some stuff because of your faith, Peter would say, that's a mark that God's on you. Paul is saying, hey, if you're partnering with the gospel, you're probably going to be persecuted. You're probably going to be overlooked for a promotion. You're probably going to be overlooked for a job. You might even lose your job because of your faith. But guess what, friends? God's still with you. This is a purposeful partnership. You see, when you and I, when we partner by making a missions commitment here at our church, we're partnering with missionaries like this. Right here. Now, the next slide. Yeah, there we go. These are the missionaries that we have partnered with right now. This is what your financial monthly missions commitment goes to, is all these different missionaries that we are partnering with throughout the world, locally in the sense of in the United States, in a few organizations right here in our very backyard. But also, when you partner with us in a monthly missions commitment, you're partnering with one of our very own, Amanda Candle. And Amanda's going to come right now and talk about what that partnership looks like.
Thanks for the opportunity to come and speak this morning. Like you said, my name is Amanda Candle, and I've grown up here, and I'm super blessed to be here and to be a part of this church and to have grown up in this church. I am just got approved a couple months ago now to go to Bolivia as a missionary associate. So it's very exciting. I'm planning on going there for 2 years. And you might be thinking that's a really long time, but I have been called to mission since I was 11 years old. Specifically, September 11th, 2001. It was when the Twin Towers got struck and we got called out into the living room by my mom. I was homeschooled, so we were home. Went out, was watching the TV, and I actually saw the second plane hit the Twin Tower. And I just can remember thinking at that moment, oh my gosh, a whole bunch of people just died. How could this have happened? And I can remember talking to my mom and just, I can't say it was an audible voice, but I knew that God was speaking to me that it was because these people needed his love. This happened because people didn't know about him and didn't have the hope of his love. And I can remember that day thinking, I think God just called me to be a missionary. And I think I even told my mom that, and she wasn't super happy at that moment about me being called to be a missionary. But I can remember from that moment on having this desire to be a missionary. And when I went through high school, I got it spoken over me at camps and conferences. I even went to Pastor Kent on a Sunday morning. I was like, I think I'm called to be a missionary. Can you pray for me? He's like, yeah, sure, I'll pray for you. And I got prayed for. And so I grew up knowing that this is something I wanted to do. I did the internship here at the church with Pastor Josh, and got really involved in the youth ministry, learned so much, and knew that that's where God had me for the time being. So until about a little over 3 years ago, I volunteered. I was a leader at the youth ministry, grew up in the youth ministry, and learned an incredible amount. And then I had this experience talking to this girl, decided that God was calling me to Africa for a short-term missions event. And so I went to Africa for 6 months, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, kind of to test the call of God on my life. Is this something I wanted to do full-time? Is this something that I was just going to give to or do as a part-time thing? And while I was there, I got confronted with a whole bunch of hard issues. There was a lot of things that I saw that were heartbreaking. There was kids on the streets that didn't have a place to call home, that were looked down on because they thought they were witches. And it was heartbreaking for me to see these kids have nowhere to go. The hunger there was incredible to see. People only got one meal a day, maybe. And it was so heartbreaking for me to see these people that were starving, these kids that had no food. I got to go to some of the prisons and the horrible conditions that they were in and see these people that were just in horrible states. All over Africa, I looked and I saw so many things that broke my heart. I just wanted to go and fix all of these things, and I didn't know how I was going to do all of it. And this came to a head when we went to a little village outside of one of the big cities, and we were handing out these clothes, and we did like a little sermon. I gave my testimony, and then they lined up to get their clothes. And all of a sudden, it broke out into this kind of mob-like thing where they were just desperate to get these clothes, and no order happened. It was just chaos, and it stressed me out a little bit because I like order. I like control, and it was a struggle. So I went to Bill, the missionary that I've been staying with, and I was like, why are these people so crazy about these clothes? I mean, they're like T-shirts, and they're not even fancy. Like, what is this? And he said that most of the people had one or two pairs of clothing. And I was like, okay, well, that makes sense. And he's like, but not only that, winter was coming, and where we were in high elevation. So it got pretty cold at night. And so the only way they could stay warm was to layer up on clothes. And this was to prevent them from having to go to the doctor because there was no doctor. So this was really a life and death situation for these people to get these clothes. And I can remember this mom coming up to me, and she had a newborn baby in the midst of this mob. And she was trying to hand me her baby. And she's like, please give my baby some clothes. Please give my baby some clothes. And the desperation in her was so hard to see. After a while, I saw all of these needs, and I realized that more than hunger or a place to lay your head or even clothes, they needed the hope of God. They needed the hope that there was a God that loved them. There wasn't an audible voice saying, Amanda, you're going to go into missions. This is why. It was seeing all of these people just needing the hope and love of God. When I came back from Africa, I knew that this is something I wanted to do full time. This is something that God was calling me to. He had been calling me to it, and I wanted to do it full time. So I looked everywhere for all these opportunities. I asked different missionaries in Africa, do you want someone to come with you? And I was trying to get my education. It felt like all these doors were closing around me. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just work here at the church and wait until God opens up a door. And I had kind of resigned myself to the fact that I was going to be working with the young adults for a while. And I was like, okay, this is where God has me. It's going to be fine. And then I went to the network conference last year, and I met the Campbells, who are going to Bolivia. And I had a conversation with Marge Campbell, and I connected so strongly with her. And I actually had some random girl that I barely know come up to me. She's like, are you going to be an MA with them? I'm like, no, they're going to Bolivia. I like Africa. Like, no, that's not my plan. Wasn't even on my radar. And I was talking to Marge. I was like, so what does it look like to be an MA with you? What does that mean? Like, what is the process? And she actually, Jeremiah is the president of Global University in Bolivia. And Global University is a college that you can take Bible classes through and get your degree through. So I found out that I could get an accredited degree for my missions plan, because I have to be licensed in order to go and go career missionary. I can get that for a lot cheaper, and I can do missions while I'm doing it. So on top of that, I found out that they're working in a college campus in ministry with Chi Alpha. And I have been working with young adults for 3 years now, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is such a good fit. So I prayed about it. I asked Levi and Alyssa, and I asked Pastor Josh and Jill, I'm like, what do you think? And they're like, do it. So I prayed for a week, and it was just like all of these things fell into place. I applied, I got approved, and like in a month and a half, I was going to Bolivia. And it was incredible to see God's hand on my life and how he is directing me there. And it's incredible to see. And you guys might be thinking, well, some of you may have heard that Bolivia is going through a bit of unrest right now. Marge and Jeremiah actually had to come back from the field for a little bit because of how uproarish it was over there. So I wanted to alleviate your fears, because my goal is to leave in May. And as I leave, I will be going to language school for 8 months. So I really won't be in Bolivia for over a year, and things are already starting to calm down. And I totally believe that God is calling me to Bolivia. He's going to use me in Bolivia. And I am so, so excited to see what I'm going to do there. And I'm so appreciative of your guys' partnership in that.
When you and I make a mission commitment, we're also partnering with local ministry here as well. In August, man, we had Frank from Community House come and share about him leading there. And we blessed him with $1,000, which, just so that you know, it went towards the kitchen, dining room, and common areas, and kind of the cost to kind of maintain some of those areas. Not only that, but us investing into the Community House, we are partnering with them to impact people like Amber. And this, the following is from the Community House, and I read, "Amber only knew dysfunction. She grew up in a family of addicts and became an addict herself. After two experiences in prison and separation from her young daughter, Amber decided to try to change her life. She wasn't sure she could. She had heard about our program that worked for others. Brave but uncertain, she came to the Community House. We welcomed Amber to our safe environment that is drug, alcohol, and tobacco free. She received nutritious meals on a regular schedule and participated in a plan to change her future. We are dedicated to helping the homeless in our care to become self-sufficient. We provide health assessments, primary medical care, children's activities while parents participate in support group and therapy sessions, mental health services for all ages, chemical dependency support for teens and adults, employment services, and supportive housing. Amber committed to utilizing the services available to her. This included substance use disorder treatment and worked towards qualifying for supportive housing as well as other programs. Amber's young daughter was eventually returned to her care. They received guidance and services to help them establish a healthy relationship. Amber graduated from the substance use disorder program and qualified for HUD housing against many obstacles. Amber built a strong foundation for herself and her daughter, and today she is an excellent tenant and her daughter is thriving in school. To our delight, she stays in touch with Community House staff, and we know she has taken the proper steps to assure a healthy future. Isn't that amazing? Your missions giving this last year made it possible for us to buy benches for Columbia Heights Elementary School. And because of your giving to missions this last year, over the next 2 weeks, we are buying 96 Christmas presents for kids connected to that school. Because you gave this last year, we were able to invest in Faithful Servants House. Because you gave this last year, we were able to partner with Cascade Middle School. And this week, we are buying food for 10 families in need for Thanksgiving. We also have helped buy supplies for their clothes closet and bought things for their music class as well. Because you gave this last year, we were able to serve and see 456 people come up on our church property on Halloween to be in an environment that is safe for their kids to receive tons of stinking candy. And every child was invited to kids' church on Sunday morning that came through that gate. Because you gave this last year, we were able to partner with Love Inc. and providing free oil changes for people that need it and to be a blessing to businesses as well. Because you gave this last year, we were able to buy tons of baby clothes and cribs for Caring Pregnancy Center. And you see, our desire this next year is to have more than enough so that we could do even more in our community by partnering with you to reach out with love, with the love of Jesus. This is a purposeful partnership. Lastly, giving to missions comes from a purposeful supply. Verse 17 through 20. "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul says, "my God." Paul is not referring to some pagan god, some Greek god or Egyptian god or some god of our age. He is referring to Jehovah God, who is his God. This is personal to him. And you see, this is the same God who called Enoch to walk with him and eventually called him home. This is the same God who called Noah to do something in his day that has never been done and supplied everything that he needed to do all that he was called to do. This is the same God who called Abram out of idol worship to go to a land he didn't know. But because of God blessing him, he blessed him in his going, and also he blessed him in to every single person around him and future generations. This is the same God that called Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and provided for her for 40 years in the desert. This is the same God that called Joshua to lead them to victory in the promised land. This is the same God who called David, who eventually became a giant slayer. This is the same God who called Elijah when Elijah prayed for it to not to rain, it didn't rain. But when he prayed for it to rain again, it started raining. This is the same God of the prophets of old, the same God of the early disciples, and the same God of you and I. Our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He may not supply all your wants, but he will supply all your need. As the worship team comes, here's the balance to that truth here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. This is what Paul says. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. As you and I give to missions with a purposeful mindset financially, God in his riches will supply seed for you to sow and provide for your needs at the same time. That's the God we serve. Like, so what am I asking of us, of you and of me here this morning is to consider what seed this next year does God want you to sow as an individual or as a married couple, as a church. Man, we have a minimum of $52,000 that we have mission commitments going out. That's our minimum. But we're believing that we'll have more than enough so that way we could continue with the missionary support right there, but that we have more than enough so we could do some amazing things this next year locally in our very own backyard. There's some needs that you know about right in your own neighborhood that just maybe we'll be able to partner with you to meet because our giving went above and beyond. And I'm going to be very real with you, how we operate as a church. If it comes in under the 52,000 mark, I will be making phone calls to some missionaries to like not support them any longer. You might be like, why? Because the money's not there. I don't want to make that phone call. I'm just being very real with you. I don't want to make that phone call. But I will if I have to. But our heart here is that if every single one of us does what God's telling us to do, we'll have more than enough. I won't have to make that phone call. Why? Because we obey what God is speaking to us. And as we obey what God's speaking to us, man, we're going to have more than enough. We're going to be able to do some amazing stuff right here in our very own backyard. It's not one or the other. It's both and. So would you do me a favor? Right there in front of you, there's these black pockets. And right in front of the Connect cards, there's mission commitment cards. And I'm asking that you would pull that out right now. And that you would just simply go, God, what would you want me to do? Maybe you have given to the missions commitment for years. And you're like, I'm just going to do the same thing. Well, would you at least fill that out and let us know that? Because I don't want to just assume that that's what you're doing. I want to know for sure so that we could budget accordingly. Maybe you're new here today to this whole missions idea. Man, this is my belief. I believe this with everything within me. All of us can do something, but not all of us could do the same thing. And the reason is because not all of us are on the same spot economically. But I believe that all of us could do something. Maybe to you, a huge sacrifice is $10 a month. Maybe that to you, that's a huge sacrifice. Maybe some of you, you're like, man, I'm going to cut my cable bill in half so that way I could give $50 a month. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today and you're like, man, I'm gonna do $1,000 a month because I believe in missions. Man, you need to obey what God's asking you to do. But I want to give all of us just time that the Holy Spirit can speak to you, that the Holy Spirit could just challenge you. Because this is how we operate as a church. We have for years the way we do missions. And so the band, they're just going to jam. And here's the reality. Given the missions comes from a purposeful commitment, a purposeful decision, a purposeful partnership, and a purposeful supply. Why? Because giving to missions comes from a purposeful mindset. So as the band jams, would you just take time and say, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do? Fill that out. There's going to be ushers by the door with some buckets so you could drop that off here and just, you know, I'm not going to release you just yet, but we're just going to create an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. Maybe like, hey, I don't have a card. Maybe there's not one right next to you, man. Write it on a piece of paper with your name, your address, the amount. Maybe for you, it's like a one-time gift. Hey, I'm going to give a one-time gift. That's awesome. Maybe for you, like Jill and I do, we do a monthly reoccurring gift. That's how we do it. The cool thing about technology is you could do that, and then you could be like autopilot, right? And it just pays it for you. But would you pray? Would you ask the Holy Spirit as the band jams, and then we're going to sing here in just a minute.